The Outlet.
The talk of Queenstown.
Welcome to The Outlet. I'm your host, Brent Harbour, and this podcast I catch up with the CEO of Queenstown Trails, the charitable trust responsible for the planning and development of more than 200 kilometres of trails in the Whakatipu Basin. We talk future plans, sustainability, technology, and how the trust engages with the community.
The Outlet.
From your Queenstown app.
G'day, Willie. Welcome to The Outlet.
Hi, Brent. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Queenstown Trails plays a significant role in both the local community and as a tourist attraction. So how does the trail network contribute to making Queenstown one of the world's leading biking and hiking destinations?
Well, I think that's a really good point you hit on. Primarily, it was, I guess, first, the idea was picked as a tourist asset. You know, the idea was to bring people in to enjoy the trails who weren't from town. But I think more and more, and certainly more recently, it's become a big reason why people choose to live here. So for our community, it's a really important network to get out and enjoy this amazing landscape that we've got. And I think, you know, we're quite fortunate. Everyone is quite, you know, you move here for the same reason. You want to be able to go and be active and have these adventures, and the trails allow that. So what we're most excited about right now is that the trail network is becoming more and more integrated. So, you know, we're connecting trails which enable everyone to have access to the network within, you know, hopefully 10 minutes of their front door. So they don't need to get in the car. They can jump on their bike in the garage and get going from home. And, you know, that's to go and have, obviously, a bit of a training or a recreational experience. But more and more, there's active transport as well. So people are looking at the trail network as a means to get around. So, you know, again, it's helping with that whole carbon emissions thing. It's getting vehicles off the road. It's reducing congestion. And if we can complete the active transport network in conjunction with a recreational trail network, then we might get that big behavioral change that we're going to need, because the roads aren't going to get quieter. And I think, you know, it's going to be really important that we start looking at other ways of getting about.
And that's really important because, you know, sustainability, environmental protection are some of the core values that you have. So can you please tell me a little bit about the work you do in this area?
Yeah, so this is where we're seeing really good conservation outcomes come as a result of enhanced access. So it's been quite an interesting sort of few years in that we've got this really good collaboration going on now with a lot of different entities. The whole COVID thing brought together a lot of us that were all working in our own individual silos. And we've all said, well, actually, we're working towards the same goal, which is, I guess, protecting the environment and enabling access into areas that weren't previously able to be accessed very easily. It's creating opportunities for, I guess, the Wilding Pine groups and the Arrowtown Choppers likes of that kind of group to come in and remove pest species, get rid of the Wilding Pines. And then in behind them, you get these initiatives coming along where the likes of Whakatipu Reforestation Trust and Mana Tahuna will come in and they'll restore the sort of more indigenous vegetation. You know, they'll do native planting days. It's great. The Arrowtown Choppers do a lot of beach parties up at the back of Arrowtown. And we're working with Mana Tahuna, who are just down the stairs here from where we are. They're doing a big restoration of the Mill Creek catchment. So that riparian planting that they're doing is improving the water quality that then runs into Lake Hayes. So we're all contributing towards improving the water quality in Lake Hayes. And then the other big thing that's happened is that the trail networks are allowing predator trapping groups to get access into areas and ring fence areas off with predator traps. So you can almost create these big landlocked areas where you've got predator traps all the way around a trail network, and therefore you're controlling the amount of predators in one area. And we're really seeing where there's trail networks established, the predator numbers that they're managing to knock out is huge. Suddenly the birds are returning and there's these really vibrant sort of, you know, dawn choruses in all the areas where a trail network would enable that work to happen. And I think before the trails went in, that access wasn't possible and there was no real way to control those predators. So it's great. We're part of what's called the Whakatipu Conservation Alliance. And I think, you know, the access is resulting in some really, really good conservation outcomes.
Yeah, because, you know, people and groups and community engagement are pretty crucial to what you do. So how do you foster those connections with everyone and make sure there's success and enjoyment for the trail?
I think it's a case of just spreading the good news story. And we're certainly seeing that collaboration is going from strength to strength. And you know, we'll meet probably every 6 months. We'll have a big Conservation Alliance HUI. And it's fascinating to sort of understand all the work that's going on and how that can sort of all work towards the same end goal. And obviously, it's all tied into Destination Queenstown's plan around regenerative tourism, having a really good destination management plan, and actually making people that visit here understand what we're trying to do. And obviously, that's the sort of intention moving forward, is that people that come are able to sort of leave the place better than it was than when they arrived. So I think the long-term aspirations are really, really strong. And I think the community is coming along for that journey as well. And we're seeing it all the time, and that by working together, we're creating some really good alliances, and everyone is heading in the same direction. Everyone's needles pointing north.
Yeah, and with everything too, technology is becoming a really important part of the experience and everything you do, actually, with sustainability and everything else that's going on. So can you run me through some of the initiatives Queenstown Trails is involved in?
Yeah, technology is a big part of obviously what the trail experience is like, and certainly there are a few sort of pretty early in the piece to get those initiatives up and running, but we're looking at improving our wayfinding quite a lot. A lot of people from out of town come here and wouldn't know where the trail connections are. So, of course, you put your signs on the ground, but having real-time mapping either through an app or a website is something that we're looking to roll out in the next 12 months. We're looking at upgrading our website to a significantly better product. And then out on the trails themselves, we're looking at creating facilities that, again, enhance that experience. So there's been a big boom in e-bikes. You know, the e-bike market is growing, but obviously people get range anxiety. You know, if they've got 130 kilometers to cycle, they might not get all the way through. So we're currently investigating the development of a pilot remote e-bike charging station, and we've had some indicative designs drawn up where we can have, I guess, solar panels in a kind of shelter that would charge a battery bank and have each individual type of charging port for the different e-bikes that are out there. So the people come along and they can plug in a remote location and make sure they've got enough juice to get themselves home. And at the same point, these trail hubs that we've designed would also be a really good point for water, to make sure that when people are out in the backcountry and they might have gone on a hot day like this where there's no water stop, then we've got water collection there and they're able to fill the bottles, recharge, get some shade, and obviously continue on to their destination without having to pedal an e-bike without any battery in it.
Wow, that's great technology, isn't it, to have on there? That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty cutting edge. And you know, we went up to the New Zealand Cycle Trail Conference a couple of weeks ago up in Wellington, and there's a lot of appetite for it. You know, I think it's the next evolution of the trail network will be to make sure that that kind of facility is available and is out there. So it's something that we'll roll out here as a pilot, and then it'll probably get adopted around the different great rides around the country.
Now, you had your AGM last night. Can you tell me a bit about that and also share the details about the major trail connection project Queenstown Trails is currently working on and the impact grant that you're shortlisted for?
Yeah. So there's a number of different projects on the go at the moment. It's quite an exciting time for trails because we're starting to see a lot of the regions linked together. So a lot of the different regions in this area, we're looking at connecting the Queenstown Trails down the Kawerau Gorge, that'll connect into the Lake Dunstan Trail, on into the Roxburgh Gorge, on into the Clutha Gold, all the way to Waihola and all the way to Dunedin. So these big regional connections, I guess, the big picture. And obviously in Queenstown, we're doing a big project right now, which is the Queenstown Trail realignment. So we're about 70% through connecting Arthur's Point back to Arrowtown. And that project will be finished sometime in probably early summer. I'd say maybe February, March, that trail will be open. And I guess in conjunction with that, there's another stage of that project from Arthur's Point down the shot over to Tucker Beach. So that project is underway as well. The bridge at Tucker Beach will be starting construction in the next couple of weeks. So we'll have a new bridge across there. Then we run up the shot over gorge. We go through an old mining tunnel. All those projects are out for tender right now. So there's a lot of trail work in that space. Around the, the current application we've got in with the Impact 100 team, and that's more of an active transport route. And what we're trying to do there is connect, I guess, residential suburbs. We've got Shotover Country, Lake Hayes Estate, Quail Rise. And we want to connect them with the high school primarily. It's about getting kids on bikes, out of cars, and taking that sort of pick-up and drop-off traffic off the road. So the issue at the moment is there's no safe way to do so. The State Highway 6 runs through there. The trails are all, you know, all the footpaths are kind of severed by all the different roads, and things are getting busier with traffic. So there's a new bridge proposed that will cross over State Highway 6 at Jim's Way. So it will come from Jim's Way, and it will land on the reserve land in behind Glenda Drive. And the Impact 100 grant that we're applying for is to develop a trail on the eastern lip of the Frankton Flats in behind the industrial area on Glenda Drive. There's a council reserve that runs all the way behind there. And that will allow all those communities to have conflict-free transport from their home straight to the shared pathway in behind Hawthorne Drive and the end of the runway there, and all the way around to Wakatipu High School. And I think the great thing about that is that when parents are confident that their kids have got a safe way to cycle to school, we'll see that next generation really starting to take up active modes and all the health and well-being benefits that go with that. But also then it takes that parent off the road as well, because they haven't had to go and do the drop-off or the pickup. So that gives them the choice. So they're at home and they might decide that they're going to cycle to work that day. And I think the big goal here is that we can have an impact on behavioural change and getting some cars off the road by developing a network that is conflict-free. It's amazing some of the projects that Impact 100 have funded. We've seen some incredible applications and some incredible projects. But this one, I think it's a real legacy trail. You know, we're going to call it the Impact 100 Link Trail. And I think it's one of those things that will make a lasting difference. It's one of those things that if we can encourage that behavioural change, and this would be the start of it, then what a great legacy to leave.
Well, if people want to get involved and find out some more, Willie, where should they go online?
Yeah, have a look on queenstowntrails.org.nz. We've got the website there. All the information about our trail network is on there. And if people want to get involved and support, we have our Trail Lovers program. You can click through the website and click to that link. And we appreciate the support we do get from our community. It's great to understand that the community does recognise the benefits of the trails, and we do thank everyone for their support. We've got some really good support out there, so thanks to everyone that chips in.
Oh, that's great. Hey, well, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it, and thank you for the great work you're doing. I look forward to catching up when we find out more about the grant.
Thank you very much, Brent. Much appreciated. We'll catch up soon.
Download the Queenstown app from the App Store or Google Play.
Thanks for listening to The Outlet, your local interview podcast for Queenstown. If you have a story or an interview you think should be featured on The Outlet podcast, get in touch by using the contact button on your Queenstown app. The Outlet is produced and published by the Queenstown app and supported with funding from the New Zealand Public Interest Journalism Fund. All episodes of The Outlet are available on the podcast button on your Queenstown app and wherever you get your podcasts.